I'm Christian Scheller. Welcome to my podcast, an enthusiastic ramble through whatever has taken my interest the past week or so. Expect technology, games, history, travel, geekery, and as always, much, much more. Hello, welcome to another Chinchilla Squeaks with me, it may surprise you to hear, Chris Chinchilla. I have an interesting episode for you today, actually with a company, with a product that I've sort of referenced in a few shows since I interviewed them, I think late last year, to the point where I was sure I had released this, but I hadn't, which is why I am doing it now, probably a little too late, and that is with AppCD, who are using generative AI to create infrastructure as code. Terraform configuration, that kind of thing. So actually turning the whole infrastructure as code on its head and having code as infrastructure. It learns from your code to generate the infrastructure for you based on models. It's very interesting. They do have a free self-serve tier, which I'm going to test at some point soon because I'd like to actually see if all the promises of the interview really deliver. But it's an interesting interview. And before we get into that, let's have a few words from sponsors. So today I am joined by Asif from AppCD. Now, AppCD, it's app, I'm guessing. That's easy enough. I'm guessing CD is maybe continuous deployment, development, something like that. Yep. And you are a company that has very much jumped on this current wave of generative things, but you're taking a slightly different approach and maybe combining one of the other topics that I talk about a lot more on this podcast, which is infrastructure as code, et cetera, et cetera. So what is AppCD, if I haven't given it all away far too much already?
Absolutely. First of all, thanks for having me, Chris. Nice. Great to talk to you. So AppCD, starting from the very top, is a generative infrastructure from code product. Mm-hmm. Okay. So just to sort of peel the layer and get into the next level of detail, what AppCD does as a product or as a solution provide is infrastructure as code, which is automatically inferred from the application code itself without mm-hmm. making any changes to the original application code in the form of annotations or in the form of any kind of SDK calls or any configuration changes mm-hmm. that need to be added as some of the other solutions or some of the other approaches require.
So, okay, I kind of get it and I can look at your webpage as well, but I'm trying to understand. So analyze Python and Java code so far to understand required infrastructure, cloud dependencies, AWS resources, et cetera, et cetera. But then what? Like, do you create Terraform scripts? Like, what do you do next?
Yes, absolutely. So let me double click and get into some of the additional details. So there are three parts of this whole process, you know, at a very high level, as we have designed the product. There is the inference part, okay, which is the first thing of analysis. And as a result of analyzing the application source code, doing the static code analysis, inferring what we refer to as the deployment-related needs or the traits of the application, okay? The second part is the visualization part, okay? So once the traits or the deployment traits have been extracted from the application code, they are presented to the user/users, okay, so that they can enhance by dragging and dropping additional resources or by adding some additional details to the existing resources. And all within the parameters or within the boundaries or the guardrails of what AppCD supports mm-hmm. as policies. Then the final part is obviously generation. And as you rightly guessed, that we do generate or the product does generate the Terraform code as well as Terraform charts.
Okay. Terraform or OpenTofu or whatever it happens to be now.
Absolutely.
I actually have... Oh, well, there we go.
There's the The open tofu.
Oh, okay. Actually, I
or open TF or whatever it's called now. okay, but just okay. I just want to go. That bit makes sense. Now it reminds me a little bit of another open source project. Its name is escaping me, who I have interviewed as well many years ago, where you create the infrastructure in the code as opposed to creating, you know, external YAML files, whatever it happens to be. Gives me the P.
Oh, Pivotal?
No.
No.
Oh, I don't know. Anyway, but probably I'll fill it in later, but
Are you thinking of Heroku?
No. It doesn't matter. I might think of it in a minute. But in that particular one, you don't have a separate file. You create the infrastructure in the programming language you're in. So it's not smart, but it's in one place. So but with yours, like what I'm trying to understand is, do you have to have anything in the code? You know, how I know artificial intelligence is intelligent, but how does it know what I might need?
Good question. Let me sort of peel the layers, you know, starting with the first part of your question, which is, do any changes need to be made to the application code the way AppCD product works? The short answer is no. That's the beauty of the approach that we have come up with, Chris.
Okay.
Basically, the application developer, and you know the complexity comes from the part that application developers are required or are burdened with the fact that they need to understand how their application needs to be deployed. But think about it, right? How many developers actually know how to configure the infrastructure or how to bring up the clusters or even go down to the lowest level of details of configuring the platform resources, right?
Yeah.
All I want to do as a developer is just write the code that implements the business logic of in the form of that application code, right? So from that, keeping that in mind, the way AppCD works is that you do not have to make any changes to the application code, number one, right? And to answer the second part of your question about how does AppCD know what are the deployment needs of the application or what we refer to as the deployment traits that need to be extracted. Let me break that down into two parts, okay? There is, because we are doing the static code analysis, all right? That's a technical term.
Yeah.
There are traits that could be inferred from the application from the static state, which is the source code itself, as we have been talking about. And then there are certain runtime related traits that could be gathered.
But since
we are talking about the deployment files, it should not become like a chicken and egg situation that, oh, I do not know how many replica instances, as an example of this particular application's container images, need to be run. So which is why the second part of the visualization or presenting the application deployment topology and allowing the user to add those missing pieces of information or that curation becomes important.
Yeah.
But if I may, just to complete the final vision is that as a developer, Chris or Asif does not have to deal with infrastructure as a code, because infrastructure code is complex. A lot of people, it is error prone. People make mistakes while creating by handcrafting it, you know, or even deriving from existing templates.
Yeah.
Did I answer your question, Chris?
Yeah, it's starting to come together. The one I was thinking of, I just looked it up, was Pulumi.
Very familiar with Pulumi.
Yeah, it's sort of come and gone a little bit, but I think it's having a new lease of life. I see this is you might set in your configuration, we use AWS, and then AppCD infers what resources it thinks you will need on AWS. It doesn't just go and like make it up. It's like, if it doesn't tell you to set up AWS if you use Azure, for example, you know, it will know from what you've configured and then infer the resources you're likely to need for the application you've built. Is that basically right?
At a high level, yes. Let me add a little bit more color to what you just said, Chris, if I may.
Yeah.
So there are implicit and explicit references to the platform resources. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Explicit ones are in the form of AWS SDK calls. Let's mm-hmm. say if you're referring to a particular AWS resources such as S3 bucket, you know, or a certain kind of messaging service. So in your code, you would make explicit calls to those resources, right? And the implicit ones could be in the form of the fact that in your application, you use MySQL or Postgres, which eventually maps to a hosted service, right? Yeah. In the form of RDS.
Yeah.
I just wanted to call that out. Please go ahead.
So for example, say I've used MySQL, but I've used like a local MySQL library instead of the Amazon one. I'm not sure what they call their service. They have a different name for everything. Yeah. It would, you know, somehow just kind of change it. Does it?
Yeah. So to answer that question specifically, right, as AppCD is analyzing the source code, it would see references to MySQL. Yeah. Now, when the topology is presented, now, Chris, as a developer, has an option, or as an architect, or even change that linkage or the dependency to RDS or any equivalent for on Azure as well. We do support, working on adding the support for Azure Cloud as well.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, and I feel like there's a lot of places you could go with this, but let's go back a step first. How did you end up here? Like, what brought you to create something like AppCD?
Yeah, so both my co-founder and I, this is actually my fourth startup and Sachin's, I think, seventh or eighth startup, right? So we have been in the enterprise space for quite some time. And these are the kinds of problems that we have run into. More specifically, the last startup that Sachin ran as the founder and CEO of the company, Accurix. I was involved in the incubation and the initial idea brainstorming sessions and all.
Yeah.
The long and short of it is that when we were working on Accurix related or the problem that we were trying to address with Accurix, which is for figuring out the policy related violations in an existing or already handcrafted or written infrastructure as code files, or the specifically the Terraform files, what we realized was that as we started working on AppCD, why does someone need to run these kinds of tools after the fact? Is there a way that you can have all of these policies, what we refer to as golden standards, be baked in at the time of generation itself? And that is what we have done with AppCD.
Actually, that's interesting. So factor in those policy violations as well? Like,
actually, there won't be any situation of a violation because to give you a specific example, Chris, as a DevSecOps person, could have defined these whole bunch of security policies saying, I want my applications to be a particular class of applications to be PCI compliant, HIPAA compliant, NIST compliant, and so on. And then the set of policies as golden standards are taken into consideration by AppCD at the time of generation of the infrastructure as code.
Yeah. Okay. So it's not kind of fully generative. It's sort of more like guided AI in some respects, because you have to set some parameters, but I guess those parameters could be set by almost anybody. They wouldn't have to be written in a Terraform file or something like that. It can be much more.
Actually, that's the beauty of the solution, because and what typically happens is that the complexity and the delay in any of the existing processes that are out there, they come from the fact that different people are responsible for setting up different guidelines. And the only way they currently do, Chris, which is the biggest problem in terms of managing the lifecycle of infrastructure as code for different applications, is that they do it through templates. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But templates, as we know, right? I mean, templates is one size fit all, and it doesn't really fit. And then the moment you create a template, it is outdated, right? Because a new policy could have been introduced.
Yeah.
There are all these kinds of problems.
But if I want to then continue working with AppCD in a sort of more typical setup, I can then export those Terraform files to version control, et cetera, et cetera, if wanted to.
Yeah. In fact, large prospective enterprise customers that we are engaged with, that's exactly what they want. And the beauty of this solution is that you as an enterprise, Chris, do not have to change or throw away your existing pipelines, right? AppCD comes in from the bottom, so to speak, right? So currently, their DevSecOps people or the DevOps people, they are involved in writing or creation of these templates and review of these templates or any changes that have been made by the developers. In case of AppCD, that step gets replaced with an automated equivalent step.
And let's talk a little bit more on business. You actually, I just realized you kind of had a big announcement today. That was probably intentionally timed, but I'm not 100% sure. Normally I'm weeks late. So you've officially launched today. Firstly, just out of pure interest, like how long have you been working on this before launch? I mean, when you say you launched today, you haven't been, you've been working on it a bit longer than that. Like, so how long have you been working on this?
So we formally incorporated and founded the company in July of last year.
Okay.
But obviously Sachin and I, we were validating the idea, getting feedback from within our network for months before that.
Yeah. Okay. And you've kicked off with $6 million of seed funding, which is actually fairly high for seed. What did you hear from investors as to why they thought this was an idea that was worth that level of seed funding?
Actually, it's as we have been talking about, Chris, right? I mean, or let me just first go back and talk about the pretty decent size of seed round that we have raised. I think that that comes from the relationship that we already have with these investors. They have known us for quite some time, and it's really kind, and it's a huge responsibility for us, but the trust that they have put in both Sachin and myself. Regarding their belief in the problem that AppCD is going after and the business opportunity, as you can imagine, for the things that we were talking about, it is huge, right? When you talk about any kind of pipeline, right? I mean, more so on the deployment side of things or the continuous deployment side of things, there are all these complexities that exist because of infrastructure as code, because of the fact that, and if you take just a simple piece or a slice, there are many companies trying or vying or competing with each other to just dominate in that pie. But what we are talking about, and if this takes off, I'm supremely confident, Chris, mark my words, this is going to change the way applications are deployed, you know?
If I may,
this is something, this was the first thought that crossed my head as I started thinking about this, this whole idea, was that the original promise of cloud, Chris, what was the original promise of the cloud when AWS launched? Hey, bring your application, I'll take care of rest of the deployment.
Fast forward
almost two decades, and we are still, I mean, there's more time spent in creating the deployment related or addressing the deployment needs of an application rather than writing the business logic.
We kind of replaced old school DevOps and somewhat combined the roles, but it's still a role, even if it's not a person with that role. Yeah,
exactly.
I also like the fact, so we've had so far infrastructure as code, but you've recalled it, which is quite clever. We'll see if other people catch on. Infrastructure from code, which
is a
clever little twist. I kind of like that. Yeah. So I guess the first question around what you currently support is, why did you start with Python and Java?
Yeah, this is based on the initial feedback and the engagement, right? I mean, Java just popped up very quickly, and then Python more so for the application that have been developed in, let's say, in the past 5 to 10 years. But at the same time, if I may add, C# is C# especially on Azure is rising up very quickly in our list of priorities, as you can imagine. So
that was
going to
be my next question. What's next?
So C# and JavaScript.
Yeah, makes sense. And likewise, I mean, AWS is pretty obvious. As much as we don't want it to be so dominant, it is. What's next on that front? For Azure. The infrastructure side. Azure. Okay. Yeah. Yep. Fine. And also, do you have any potential to do kind of like on-premise? Or is that just too much of a gray area?
If I may ask for a clarification, are you talking about AppCD being available as an on-prem solution or
no,
supporting
the
on-prem?
Of, yeah, in terms of people who have a either, you know, a mixed, forgetting all the words today, a mixed
hybrid cloud deployment.
Hybrid cloud, which obviously I'm assuming that's something you would offer, you know, mixed between AWS and Azure, but also if they had some services running on local servers. I guess if they're all reachable in Terraform, then it's possible.
Actually, we already support it. You know, I'll give
you a
very specific and direct response to your question. So, Chris, we are focused on cloud native applications. Okay. Mm-hmm. And specifically, currently, we already support Kubernetes native applications if they are deployed in hybrid cloud, private cloud, public cloud, any of those combinations, you know, any deployment.
Wow. Okay, cool. And yeah, I can actually start to see some of the questions I've been asking. You have got in your frequently asked questions. I think the answer you have that will probably disturb people the most is you say, I have templates. Can I use them? No, you don't need them. We're going to do it for you. It's like you're sort of missing the point, aren't you, a little bit?
So, having said that, just to be very honest and fair, right?
Yeah.
And we do understand that, and this is based on our current engagement with some of the large prospective customers, is that they already have a bunch of templates, right?
Yeah,
so the first question that they have is that we love AppCD or what AppCD is doing. How do we onboard our existing templates onto AppCD?
Yeah.
So from the perspective of supporting brownfield application. So to answer your question directly, Chris, we do have something called an import feature that we are working on, using which you can import all of your existing Terraform files, as an example, and going forward, even Helm charts onto AppCD.
Okay.
And then the beautiful thing is from then onwards, you as the owner of or erstwhile owner of those Terraform files, like hundreds of Terraform files, now you don't have to worry about two things. You don't have to worry about the fact that they are always going to be compliant with the best design policies, AWS well-architected framework, Azure well-architected framework related policies. The second thing is you don't have to worry about the compliance with the security policies.
Yeah.
You know, what if AWS changes configuration of a particular resource attribute.
Yeah.
You know, we take care of that for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Once you've onboarded and AppCD owns it.
Now, I've got two questions I should ask whenever anything involves AI. One of them you may not want to enter. One of them you may not want to answer. One of them probably be okay to answer. The first one is, controversially, is it really generative AI, or are you just doing a lot of very clever kind of machine learning and old school AI, you know?
Actually, that's a very good question. You know, in fact, we are using at this time, I mean, and I'll be very honest, we started with deterministic stuff. I mean, I could still call it AI, but it falls more under the umbrella of expert system and rules.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Rules-based engine. But we are starting to, what generative AI gives us, despite its drawbacks, right? I mean, at least in the current form, hallucinations and all that, is that it gives us coverage of newer language much faster.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the way we are doing it, let me sort of give you another perspective, Chris, is that there is analysis part and there is generation part.
Mm-hmm.
What we have done is that the generation part is always deterministic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now there are various different entry points to generation. You can start with by just designing your deployment architecture, as I said earlier, right? Using something called the topology editor.
Yeah,
you can start with the code analysis, right? Or you can even start by importing your existing file. But the generation is always going to give you the perfect stuff. Once you have approved that, hey, my topology is good, my set of policies are good, you're always going to get with perfect, I mean, end up with perfect Terraform file. Now, on the analysis side is where we are using a combination of deterministic rules as well as generative AI, you know? But the term generative is still very appropriate and apt.
Yeah, yeah, it does get a little overused now. That's the thing we have to be careful of. And you mentioned it yourself. So the next question I always have to ask around this subject is this hallucination problem. And, you know, with what you're doing, there is a potential to have something start creating resources in places it shouldn't and overspending and all this kind of thing. So what guardrails do you have in place to prevent someone from being a little too trusting maybe of what AppCD might generate? Not that I'm saying you shouldn't trust it, but just to make sure that it's doing what you want it to do.
Actually, that's an excellent question, which is why I broke it, going back to my, or piggybacking on my response to your previous question, was that the generation part, as I mentioned, right? I mean, that is always 100% deterministic. On the analysis side, what we are doing is, we are starting with actually, I mean, let me take it back and explain it in sort of a simpler way. We are ensuring that the mistakes or the hallucination, we are leaning in favor of things that could potentially be missed out rather than having something or the generative AI piece basically creating something that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which would be worse to you.
Yeah.
I think that is what you were alluding to. So what we are doing is that on the analysis side also, we are leaning heavily towards determinism, you know, rather than towards the fact that, oh, let's get something quickly out there and then present it to the user. You
know? And I'm assuming people can set up kind of permissioning as well. It's like, well, we're not going to let AppCD generate resources that don't already exist, or we will, or et cetera, et cetera. You know,
absolutely.
Kind of
absolutely. And that's an excellent point. Even to the extent that when the users are presented with the topology, in terms of what kind of resources could be added or could be removed, all of that could be controlled by the policies.
Okay. Yeah. You know? Okay. Okay. It's very interesting. I won't ask too much what's planned next, because you've literally just launched and you've already mentioned a couple of things. I'm very pleased to see that already on day one, in quote marks, you already have a self-serve free tier for people who just want to experiment with things.
That's good.
And as far as I can tell, there's not a massive amount missing. We don't have the on-prem, and it's just one organization, one user, but I think that's probably enough to just experiment anyway. So aside from things like Azure and C# and JavaScript, what else is on the roadmap for the next 6 months?
So, this gets into the vision of how we see this entire thing taking shape, right? And what are the problems that we are going after? So, Chris, as I mentioned earlier, right? If we get this whole thing right, and we are working hard to get this this entire thing right, is that we will continue to move towards the right of the deployment lifecycle of an application, which means we'll get into deployment management, you know, environment management. Because the key thing is, there are a lot of issues as you start moving towards the right of the cloud in terms of drift, in terms of how do we ensure that. What we are doing is, we are providing Terraform templates and Helm templates to the DevOps as well as the platform engineers. But these templates are taken into various deployment environments, you know?
Yeah.
So how do you manage that? So we would want to get to that next layer and start getting into that.
Yeah. It's super interesting. I'm glad you do have a self-serve option, because I want to go and mess around myself.
Absolutely. Would love to get your feedback.
Because it's actually really interesting. And yeah, this whole aspect, we've talked so much over the past few years of something as code to allow for that, you know, the version control, the collaboration, et cetera, but actually just doing away with it and generating it all from the one thing that is the most important part, really, is actually really interesting. I look forward to seeing, you know, how people find it, and whether they'll want to relinquish that control, I suppose, is the big thing. Yeah, it's really, really interesting. Okay, so if anyone is interested, it's appcd.com. Pretty easy to remember. And yeah, Asif, thank you so much for joining me. I look forward to keeping
an eye
on
things. Thanks for having me.
No worries.
Thanks for your time again, Chris.
And that was my interview with Asif from AppCD. What's new from me? I will, on the whole subject, I'll actually have my coverage of KubeCon Paris coming out on the NextWeb soon. Also, I will have an article on writing for robots soon on Medium. These are all sort of, I'm waiting for people to click the publish button for me, but they're all in the pipeline. I am working hard on my next book, which is a book on Ableton 12. But I should remind you all that my current book is still out. That is Technical Writing for Software Developers, out on Pact Publishing now. Head on over to my website, chrischinchilla.com, to find out more, where you could also find out much more about me, of course, including contact details, all that kind of thing. I will be at Latitude 59 in Tallinn in a few weeks. If you want to meet there, let me know. But until then, I'll be back next week with another news show. Thank you very much for joining me. And as always, take care, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the show. Find out more about me at chrischinchilla.com, where you can find show notes, sign up for my newsletter, and find all of my writing, games, work, and video links. There's also details on how to get in touch with me. And if you want to get even closer to what I do, join my Discord server for behind-the-scenes discussions and helping me produce my shows and work.